Well, I just want to thank Mr. Martin for asking me to come back and do my testimony again. I was looking forward to doing it before Christmas, but then obviously a case of food poisoning got the better of me, so I'm glad to be here. But yeah, the last time I was up here was a long time ago. Whenever my brother and I were younger, our great-granny and great-granda used to clean the church, and then my nanny took over and started cleaning the church. And me and Callum used to come along during the summer months, and we would think we were the best things in the world cleaning the church, and we got the special job of polishing the pulpit. And we thought this was absolutely brilliant, and Callum and I would pretend that the congregation was in front of us and that we were leading the church and singing different hymns, and we thought this was great. It was absolutely bare, but we loved it. But I have to say, when I was 8 and doing that, I definitely didn't picture that I would be up here now testifying about what God has done for me. So I'd just like to start off with reading Psalm 121, if you want to turn there. Starting at verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Katie Mackay. I've just turned 23, and I have attended Cumber Free Presbyterian Church since I was a baby. I was born in the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald in the year 2000, and 2 years later, my brother Callum was born. I was born to two loving parents called Jolene and Lewis, and I was also blessed to have a lot of great family members who were Christian, including my mum and my grandparents, who faithfully brought me to Sunday school, church, and children's meetings, and I loved them. And I had a lot of great Christian influences around me, such as my grandma Martha, my papa John, and my granny and granda Ferguson, who were both in their late 80s and early 90s, and they were just the best thing ever. They just loved Jesus, and you knew it. Wherever they went, they showed it. And I could see how much all these people loved Jesus and how it affected their attitude and how they treated others. And they were just so different to so many other people that I saw throughout daily life. And when I was about 4 years old, I was in bed with my mum and I told her that I wanted Jesus to save me. I'd heard all about Jesus in church, through my home, and in children's meeting, and I knew that I needed to be saved, and I just thought that Jesus sounded amazing. So she pointed me to God and she showed me what I needed to do. And I prayed and asked God to save me from my sin. And I was so excited to go into children's meeting and tell Uncle Robert that I had become a Christian. And it was just so great to share that with so many other people. And I had a great time growing up in church, and we had a row that we sat in every week. We sat the fourth row from the back, and we took up nearly the whole row. I'd have my Aunt Mo and Uncle Eddie at the end, then my grandma and papa beside, nanny and granda beside them, and mum, Callum and me at the end. And every single Sunday, we'd have to come in and kiss every single family member, starting from the top of the row all the way down to the bottom. But this was quite a nice wee benefit because you got given a wee sweet and maybe slipped a wee pound to treat yourself during the week. So it was a great time. We loved going to church every week. And mum said that I loved getting tracts from people in the street, maybe if we were walking down the street in Ards or wherever we were, and I would just stop and start singing with them as I knew the words to all the hymns and the choruses which they were singing. Around the age 4 as well, I started going to Cumber Primary School and I loved it there. I had a lot of nice friends and I loved having them all come to the different children's events too because they all lived close by. And I was really happy in primary school. I was a bit of a nerd, and I did quite well, and I just loved it. But there were quite a lot of big things that happened during that time that I wasn't even really aware of until I was older. First of all, we found a lump in my leg, which we thought was just a wart or a bite from a bug, because my nanny and granda lived in Spain, so we thought it maybe it happened out there. But no matter what we treated it with, we went to doctors, we had home remedies, but it just wouldn't go away. So I got sent away for lots of tests, and they thought that it could have been something sinister. I wasn't even aware of how serious it was until I heard it in my mum's testimony when I was a teenager. Mum and Nanny said that I squealed the entire hospital down getting the biopsy done. I was quite dramatic about everything. But thankfully, whenever we went back for the results, we got the all clear that everything was okay. They were crying because they were so relieved, and I cried because I didn't really understand and I just thought I was stuck with an ugly wart in my leg forever. I was unaware that Mum and Nanny had phoned Norman to let him know of the situation, and he had faithfully prayed with other members of the church. And I really want to praise God for his goodness in that situation, and a family and church who were praying for me and protected me from a lot of worry at such a young age. I was also blessed to have a big family with a lot of family members who I loved and enjoyed spending time with growing up. My great-granny Martha was one of 14 children, and my great-granda's parents were still alive, which meant I had a lot of older aunts, uncles, and I still had 13 grandparents, so grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, that were still alive. Although this was a blessing, it meant that a lot of people close to me died when I was only in primary school. This included my nanny, my Aunt Mo, my Aunt Kathleen, my Aunt Margaret, and my granny and Granda Ferguson. Although this was hard for both my brother and I at such a young age, we were comforted by our knowledge that God was completely in control at this time. I remember Mum telling me that when my great-great-granda, Willie Ferguson, passed away, he was in his hospital bed and he was gasping for air. But with the air that he had, he was screaming hallelujah and saying that he couldn't wait to be with Jesus and that he was going home to be with God. And not long after him, his wife Lily thought the same thing. She just wanted to go home to be with Willie and the Lord where they could praise him. Moving on, I got to P7, came to the end of primary school, and I did well in my AQE, and I went on to Strathearn School in Belfast. This was a very different atmosphere, and I was no longer a big fish in a small pond, but I was now a small fish in a big pond, so it was a very different thing. My friend from primary school, called Abigail, was also a Christian, and we went together. Over time, we stayed friends, but we settled into our own friend groups. During this time, God brought my best friend Sarah into my life. She was a minister's daughter, and we were able to talk to each other about God, who I really believe gave us each other in the midst of a friend group where there were really no other Christians. I still stood strong in my faith, but I feel at that time I probably let comments go rather than giving God the defense he deserved. One memory I do remember really well in school is doing my Duke of Edinburgh, which I did with a group of girls, including Abigail from primary school. It was really windy and a wet night, and the temp was blowing. I was already really not looking forward to doing my Duke of Edinburgh, as I'm not very athletic. I was really scared, and I remember gathering the girls in my tent and saying that we needed to pray and ask God for the strength and peace of mind to get through the rest of the trip. Thankfully, Abigail was in the tent and then another girl who wasn't a Christian, but we were praying and we were really hoping that we'd get through the night and God would bring us to the morning. And this was definitely needed and God did sustain us, but I'm definitely not the hiking type, so I won't be doing it anytime soon again. And then all was okay. I got through the rest of school fine until I got to sixth form. And then I hit a really big major bump in my life. When I was in primary school, I used to take panic attacks, but it was only every so often, and my mum had helped me with controlling them. But however, this changed, and I started taking really bad panic attacks all the time, and I just couldn't control them. I remember the first really bad one, which happened when I was sitting in church one night, and I felt like I just couldn't breathe. I ran out into the hall and I was hyperventilating and I just began to go and spiral and think that there was something seriously wrong with me, even though there really wasn't. And it got to the point where I thought that I was dying, even though there was nothing to show that I was. It eventually got to the point that I couldn't leave the house or speak to anyone. I was missing school, I was missing church. I was just missing daily life, that things that you do as a 16-year-old, going to see family, going to church. And I became extremely anxious and depressed. And I felt like getting up each morning was really difficult, and I didn't want to have to wake up each morning and go through the same thing over and over again. It became even harder as I lost hope and I thought that I would never be well again. During this time, I would cling to the verses that I read at the start in Psalm 121, which happened to be my great-great-grandparents' favourite verses too. Although this time was difficult, and I found it really hard, it allowed me to grow closer to God in prayer. And I started studying and meditating on his word. This time also showed me the friends who really loved and cared for me, and I saw how other Christians were really intentional in praying and asking for how I was. And I did really see that with a lot of people in this church. They were so good at praying for us and our family and just making sure we were okay, just a wee text. And looking back now, where I am in my faith today, I know that God used this trial for good, and it really strengthened my faith as I realized that God never fails his people and he holds us fast no matter how good or bad situations are. With regards to my mental health now, not everything's perfect and I can still get anxious at times, but I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul pleads with God to take a thorn away from his side. And when we read this, we know it's something which is troubling him deeply. However, in chapter 9, Paul states God's response, which said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And even though Paul wouldn't live a pain-free, easy life, he would have the grace of God who would be with him through every trial, and he would ensure that he wouldn't be given anything more that he could handle, which I believe is the same with me and us as Christians, that God will be with us and his grace is enough to sustain us. So after a hard year in school, I got to the end of lower sixth and summer came along, and my friend Sarah convinced me to do post-certism. I was really reluctant at first, but then I thought this could be a really good opportunity. And CISM is a Christian camp and it's run by Scripture Union, and I ended up working with the little shrimps who were P1 and P2, and I ended up being one-to-one with the child who had Down syndrome, and I just absolutely loved this time. It was so good getting to spread the good news of Jesus with all these children. And CISM has really been a real blessing, not just to those children, but also to me. I've made great Christian friends there, and I look forward to going there every summer to spread the good news of Jesus with new children each year. And I know it's easy to think that P1s and P2s are still very little, but we know it's a great time to plant seeds of knowledge about Jesus in their minds, which we hope will grow into a personal faith as they get older. And it's also been such a great answer to prayer to see so many little ones getting saved and the joy that it brings their family as another little lamb gives their life to Jesus. I had a little boy who was in my small group last year, got saved, and then we saw his little sister coming along the next year. So it's really lovely to see. And after summer, I went back to school. I had one more year to go. I had upper sixth, and I enjoyed being part of the committee for Scripture Union. And my role in the committee was being in charge of junior SU, which was the first, second, and third year girls, and it was something that I really loved. I got to build relationships with girls who were growing and developing in their faith, and it was a great opportunity for these girls to see a Christian who had gone through school and maintained a personal faith. During the summer that's just passed there, I actually got to run into one of these girls who's now 18, the age that I was when I was mentoring her in junior SU. And she was able to tell me that she remembered me from school and was still following God as she had been when she was 13 years old. This was honestly such a big encouragement to see another young person who had grown in their faith. Eventually, it came to the end of school, and although I missed a lot of lower sixth, I got into Stranmillis, which was all I'd ever really wanted. I really wanted to be a teacher, and God really truly answered my prayer of going there and being close to home. And towards the end of summer, I convinced my friend Sarah to go away on the Christian Union weekend, where we made lots of great Christian friends that I still have to this day. It was a really great time of fellowship, and I really would encourage everyone going to university to surround yourself with a really good group of Christian friends. Yet again, I can say that in another part of my life, God really blessed me as I was surrounded with people who loved him and supported me in my walk with Christ. Each Tuesday, we would go to see you together, followed by a trip to McDonald's, and we'd spend other nights of the week attending worship events. I think a lot of people make it out that going to university won't be fun unless you spend time partying and drinking and going out and doing things which really aren't pleasing to God. However, I can firmly say that surrounding yourself with great Christian friends and spending time living a life in which God has called us to do is better by far. In my final year of university, I lived with four other Christian girls, Sarah, Vicky, Cara, and Molly, and we had the best time together. We had and still continue to have great chats about our faith and enjoy doing silly things, such as playing the Wii, which is about 15 years old now, and board games. Although much to Finley's detriment, the girls will testify that my cleaning and cooking skills left a lot to be desired. I had two staple meals. I had enchiladas and a stir fry, and that's about as far as it went the whole year. So I've got a lot of work to do. But everything during university was great. I had a great group of friends. I loved my course. I loved my placements in school. And then COVID came around the end of my second year of university. I think the first lockdown was a bit of a novelty. There was a lot of warm weather. We could go outside. But then I think that really soon wore off and everyone really started to miss their family, friends, and the Christian fellowship we had in church. And there was a lot of fear around that time. We also lost my Uncle Eddie, which was difficult since nobody could see him in the current COVID situation. But I am glad to say that he knew God and is in a better place today. Upon reflection on this time, it's so nice to see everyone here worshiping God and having fellowship together again, which I think is something that we really missed as Christians during the lockdowns. After COVID had died down, I was really glad to be back to church. We enjoyed going to church in the morning, and then Callum and I would always go to Nanny's house afterwards for supper, and we were definitely well fed there. So one night in March, Nanny and I decided to watch church online together at her house before having supper afterwards. I went over to her house, we watched church, and then we had our supper. We started eating our supper, we'd had our main course, and then we moved on to our dessert, which we did every week. And then Nanny started to become really unwell and started being sick. Granda is very cool, he's a very relaxed man, and he tried to stay nice and calm, but I was worked up to 100, and I just remember ringing Mum and telling her that she needed to come over straight away and that Nanny really wasn't well. And I remember after ringing Mum, just sitting on Nanny's sofa and praying and pleading with God that she would be okay. And no matter what, I knew he had complete control over this situation. As it turned out, we found out later in the night that Nanny had actually taken a stroke, which was a really big shock to all of us. But we really are so blessed at how good God has been to her in her recovery. She's really brought her back to a place of great strength, and we really would be lost without Nanny, and I think God knew that. So, as a family, we were especially blessed last year when the church held a baptism service. And I got baptized with my mum and my brother and Nanny, and we were all in the tank at the same time. This was a really lovely moment to have together, especially since Nanny had come so far in the recovery from her stroke. We were a bit worried at first about her getting into the tank, but we got there, and it was a really lovely night. Another important part of my life happened way back in 2017, when one night my friend Sarah and I were walking into her church and we ran into someone that we knew from SISM called Ross. Ross had a very nice friend with him who I chatted to called Finley. I told him that I liked his shirt and he replied with, "Thanks, I got it reduced in the next sale." One thing I knew for sure was that Finley was definitely someone who was honest. One Sunday night, I was with my friend Catherine, and we decided that we were going to attend Finley and Ross's church, where we got to chat a bit more. At the time, Finley drove a very old Ford Fiesta, and in a bid to make me laugh, yanked off the wing mirror of his car, which came off completely fine. and then he just reattached it like it was normal that it came off. He was too nervous to spend any time with us after the service, but I got a message about an hour later and I was pretty happy about it. Less than a week later, we went on our first date and have now been together for over 5 years. As Mr. Martin said at the start, we're getting married as Finlay proposed on the 8th of August 2022, and we're looking forward to getting married in summer. We've prayed a lot together and are really looking forward to what God has in store for us in married life. The verse that we love and thought a lot about at the time of our engagement is Proverbs 3 verse 6, which says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." Another big thing that happened in the summer was my graduation, and I finished university, but I was really worried about getting a job. Teaching in Northern Ireland, it's really hard to get a job, so I was really worried about where I was going to be. And August had come, and I still didn't know where I would be. I prayed a lot about it, and I really asked God that he would give me peace of mind, whatever the situation would be and wherever he wanted me to go, that I would be. Less than a week later, I got 5 phone calls in one day about work. The first call was from Dundonald Primary, which is really close to where I am now, and that's where I am. I'm so thankful to God, who I believe has been so good to me yet again, and has placed me in a school where there's a lot of other Christian staff who are really friendly and supportive and have been so good to me, especially during hard times lately. Most recently, my uncle Jim got sick and deteriorated very quickly. I found myself really upset, as I was really worried that he would feel scared or alone. I always do really panic about how others feel in those situations. But my brother Callum came in and quickly reassured us, and he quoted the words from Romans 8 verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." This gave me a lot of peace, as I realised that he was with God, which is far better than the suffering which he endured on earth. I'm so thankful that he knew the Lord, but it is a reminder of how short our life on earth really is. My Uncle Jim was completely fine 6 months ago. I remember giving him a save the date and really thought he would be at my wedding. And it just goes to show you that no matter how young or old you are, you really just don't know what the future holds, and anything can really be around the corner. So what I really want to urge you tonight is don't wait and waste your time on earth without Christ when you could know him and have life to the full. And I really hope and pray that you will come to know the Lord, who loves and wants a relationship with you. Thank you.
Well, could I just say a special word of thanks to our sister Katie for sharing with us her testimony, bringing us through some of the trials that our young people go through. And we've been impressed this past while with the individuals who have come to share their testimony, especially among our young people. It's wonderful to hear of a young person who saved young in life, and they don't go off into this old world. We hear testimonies, and we perhaps think a testimony is someone who was saved as a child, got off the rails in the high school and university, and then got married and maybe married the wrong person, wrecked their life, and then they came back to the Lord. But I want to tell you, a greater testimony than all that is a young person saved as a child, and then that young person kept through difficult times and difficult years. And it's just amazing whenever our young people come to share their testimony. We had Rebecca, the last one, now Katie, and many others as well. And just how much they know and they love the Lord. And what a blessing to this church. God has gifted to us children and young people and families. And we're so thankful to the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to know that many of our young people know and love Christ. And that's a remarkable thing, to know Christ as your Saviour, to know Christ and to love him, that is to follow him and have a desire to serve him. It was Christ himself who asked the question, and I want to present that in closing. He asked a very important question in Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 42. And he said these words, "What think ye of Christ?" What think ye of Christ? There's some who think nothing of the Saviour, absolutely nothing. In fact, they've no love for Christ, no interest in his sufferings and sorrows, no affection for the Son of God who laid down his life a ransom price for sin. They think absolutely nothing of the Son of God. Now, what does Christ mean to you tonight? What think ye of Christ? Tell me, is he your Saviour? Is he your Lord? Have you received him into your heart and into your life? Do you know him? Have you been saved by him? Has he taken away your sin? Has he washed you in his blood? Has he saved you by his matchless grace? What think ye of Christ? Or some who think nothing of the Son of God. Is that you? No affection, no interest in his blood, no desire to come to know him and follow him and love him and walk with him. What think ye of Christ? There are others in this province and in this world, and they think wrongly of Christ. They just think he's a good example. They think that Christ is just someone who has set a good example that we all should follow. There's some who believe falsely and wrongly that Christ is maybe just a good man or a prophet, and that's all. But I want to say to you that Christ is God. Do you believe that? And he's God who came into this world by virgin birth. And he's the God-man, the Saviour. What think ye of Christ? Is he God? Is he man in two distinct natures, one unique person? The God-man. There's none like him. What think ye of Christ? There are others who think wickedly of Christ. In other words, they blaspheme his name. They laugh and they mock at Christians. They turn their heads, they shake their heads, they have disdain for the preaching of his word. They despise his laws. They reject him outright, and they have no time for him, and they think wickedly of him. And what think ye of Christ? As I close now this service, what think ye of his sorrow and his suffering? What do you think of the Son of God who left heaven and came into this world and was beaten by cruel and wicked men? What do you think of Christ who had his back whipped with a Roman whip? What think ye of Christ who was crowned with thorns? What think ye of Christ who was mocked and laughed at, put a crown of thorns on his head, a reed in his hand, and a purple robe upon his body, and they mocked him, and they slapped him, and they buffeted him, and then they beat him, and then they whipped him, and then they crowned him and brought him out, and Pilate cried, "Behold the man." What think ye of Christ? And then he's led up Golgotha's hill, carrying his cross. He's nailed to that old Roman gibbet and lifted up and suspended between heaven and earth. I'm asking you now, what think ye of Christ? There on the cross, all the sin of all his believing people were laid on him, and he became accountable for those sins, and he paid the price for those sins, and he suffered the wrath of God for those sins. Now tell me, what think ye of Christ? He took the sinner's place. He offered a great sacrifice once for all to put away sin and to save your soul. Now what think ye of Christ? He cried, "It is finished," and on the third day he rose from the dead. Now what think ye of Christ? And then he ascended into heaven, at God's right hand exalted. What think ye of Christ? He's coming back again. He's returning to this earth again. Now what think ye of Christ? Nothing. Wrongly, wickedly. Like these young people, you should think everything of Christ. He should be your Lord. He should be your Saviour tonight. He should be all in all to you, everything to you. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? If you think that he is Saviour tonight, and you say, "Yes, he is Lord," well, why not come to him? Why not receive him? Why not, like our sister Katie, even though she was a child, she understood she was a sinner, and she believed, repented, and accepted Christ as her Saviour. And you can do that tonight. We'll have our supper very shortly, but it's not your supper you need if you're not saved. It's salvation. And I trust this evening the Spirit will work and bless those messages in song, the personal word of testimony, the reading of Scripture, and even the closing remarks, that the Holy Ghost will convict and convince and convert and bring precious souls to the Saviour. We're going to sing in closing just a few verses of a hymn. The ladies will make their way over to the church hall and they will prepare the supper, and you're free to stay. The tables are there and there are spread. So take your seat and sit anywhere you like and make friends of those that are on the table alongside you. But we're going to sing the hymn 268, please. 268. We'll sing the first and the last verses only of this hymn, I Came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Could I just say that there's an ambulance coming to the church here just to attend to an emergency. And if you're going out and the ambulance is there, just please make your way over very quickly to the church hall. Don't be standing about, please. And just give them time to work with this individual. Loving Father, we do thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the ministry and song. We thank thee for the personal word of testimony. And we pray you'll encourage and bless these young people. Remember the little lambs of our flock. Remember the young people and the young adults. We pray, Lord, that each one of them will come to know Christ as their own and personal Saviour. And for those who are saved, that they'll be led on with thyself and they will follow the Lord, that we will walk with Christ. They will obey the Lord and follow thy will and thy plan for their lives. And we pray for family members and loved ones and those listening on the internet and those gathered in this meeting house out of Christ without a Saviour. May this be the very night that they turn and repent and seek the Lord for salvation. Father, part us, we pray now, with thy fear and favour. Remember us as we take, Lord, our journey across to the church hall, as we sit together and eat and drink. May we do so with a thankful heart. And afterward, take us to our homes in safety. Bless the activities of the house this incoming week. And we pray that this will be a week and a year of God's blessing in salvation and restoration. And hear our humble prayer and our sincere cry, because we offer this with thanksgiving in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. If you can make your way quick. Thank you.